wanted to try to do something a little bit different this evening. As we stand merely a week before Rosh Hashanah, we would be remiss if we didn't try to expand and inspire and develop some of the critical themes. On the other hand, we're parents and we're very concerned about our children. And we should be concerned about our children because they are growing up today, despite this wonderful community, but in a very confusing world. There's no longer the sense of community, the shtetl of old. Everyone is exposed to everything instantaneously, if not sooner. It creates challenges and obstacles and problems and confusion that we really haven't experienced before. So I wanted to try to, based on the lessons of Rosh Hashanah, the Yom Noroim, to try to draw some parallels to the world of parenting and see if we can't maybe come out with a somewhat enhanced appreciation of both. We begin the season with Elul. Elul begins with the Rosh Tevis, Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li. I am to my beloved is to me. As we just begin Rosh Chodesh Elul, we focus on our relationship with our Creator, with our Kodesh Boruch Hu. The loving relationship that not just existed in our glorious past, but that exists to this very day, as Shlomo HaMelech prophesies to us in Shir HaShirim. Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li. And when we talk about relationship, it has so many different ramifications. A relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is critical. Critical. Because if we don't have that relationship, then He seems so far away, so remote, so distant, so abstract, so, for some people, just impossible to even deal with. But when I feel that there's love, when I feel that there's kesher, when I feel that there's relationship, when I feel that there's a bond, so many other things can follow and fall into place. And the same is true in human relations. If we had to underscore maybe the most critical aspect of the development of our children, it's the positive relationship that we have with them. The love that is exchanged from both sides. And as parents, we may think, well, you know, of course we love our children. Today, unfortunately, and again, every community is somewhat different and somewhat similar. Our children are not so sure how much we love them. The old days of the parents who were known to live for their children is no longer a reality. We can't take that for granted. We have to express it. We have to work on the relationship. We have to expand, develop, deepen that relationship and express it at every possible opportunity. Not with the perfunctory, love you and hope to get you off the phone as soon as possible, but with a true sense of loving relationship. And that can sometimes be the key to the development of our children, to the success of our children, and sometimes to the saving of our children when they are challenged, tempted, and lured into different lives, into different challenges, into different temptations. So that concept of relationship is extremely important. But we also have to inspire in our children a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that seems somewhat difficult. It's hard. You know, the kids say, I daven, but he doesn't answer me. So what kind of a relationship is that? I do much, so much for him. I have so many mitzvahs and so many halachas, so much to do. And yet, some of them wonder, what does he do for me? And they have to know that there is an active and loving relationship there. Hashem answers our tefillos. Sometimes he answers them before they're even asked. If we see his hashkocha protis in the world, if we see the personal, intimate care that he takes for every aspect of our lives, if we feel that sense of his involvement in everything, and if we realize that we have no koyach, we can accomplish nothing, it's all him. Everything is from him. Without him, we're lost. Without him, we're helpless. The sooner, the more, the deeper we realize that, the more they can forge that relationship. And that relationship, when it's a positive relationship, when it's a loving relationship, when they realize that even though Hashem today is behester upon him, we don't necessarily see him as Shlomo HaMelech describes in Shir HaShirim, he's Mashkiach min HaChaloiznos, he's peeking through the windows, Meitzis min HaCharakim, he peeks through the crevices, but he's there, he's watching us, he's taking care of us, he's involved in every aspect of our lives. And when we hear that despite the way we act, deep down, we all have that love of Hashem. Shlomo HaMelech prophesied and promised us that even in the vita golus, in the long and distant golus in which we find ourselves today, in the furthest and farthest away places, that love from us to him and him to us remains as vibrant and as passionate as it ever was. And that ani l'doidi v'doidi li is really the beginning of a lesson in how we have to be able to connect with our HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very positive way. You know, these days are called the days of awe. Yomim HaNoiroim. We know that there's a mitzvah, Ish Imoy Ve'oviv Tiro'u. So there's a parallel there. There's days of fear of Hashem and mitzvah to fear parents. And both of them need to be understood because in the Inyan, in the mitzvah, in the concept of fear, we walk a very delicate tightrope. And let me explain. The Pasuk says in Tehillim in Kuf Lamed, Ki imcho haslicho leman tivore. With you, Hashem, is forgiveness in order that you be feared. And very strange. Ramban, the Nahakdoma, actually, to Dvorim, right at the beginning, is concerned a little bit. Because Hashem is feared, because Hashem forgives, that's why he's feared, in order to be feared. If anything, the more forgiving a person is, the less we fear. The less forgiving someone is, the more we fear. So what does this mean? Ki imcho haslicho leman tivore. And it seems from the Ramban that it's really very simple. Fear is awesome. Fear is overwhelming. Fear can paralyze. Fear of Hashem can paralyze. And fear of a parent can paralyze. And in order for fear to be effective in a positive way, there has to first be the realization of the level of love and the level of forgiveness that the one that we wish, that we choose, that we should be fearing has. Im imcho haslicho. If we know Hashem how much you forgive, now we can allow ourselves even to think seriously, and yes, maybe I have a shortcoming, maybe I made a mistake, maybe I could do something better, maybe I have to do tshuva. But if I didn't know that you are forgiving, I'd be afraid to be afraid. I'd run away. Gets too hot in the kitchen, I run out. I wouldn't be able to handle it. It could be paralyzing. This is true in our relationship with Hashem. And therefore the Elul is a beautiful introduction to the Yomim HaNoiroim, because first we underscore how much love exists between us. And then we talk about the fear of the Yomim Noroim, which we'll get to in a moment. But this is also critical in the relationship with our children. There has to be a certain element of fear. Let's call it reverence. Let's call it obedience. Let's call it not respect, but, you know, ready to follow some level, some modicum of directives. Not as much as it used to be, but something. And there's a certain element of fear in that. But it can become overwhelming. Children become overwhelmed by the directives that are placed upon them. By their parents, by their rebbeim, by their schools, by their society, by the Torah itself, forgive me. And they have to first know that ki imcho haslicho. It's all positive. Hashem loves us. Our parents love us. Our parents are forgiving. They will not hold every misdeed and every mistake and every misspeak against us. They will forgive. They're ready to forgive. Then I can begin to think, hey, maybe I got to shape up. But if I don't know about their forgiveness, I can't allow myself to think. It's too overwhelming to think about my shortcomings and where I'm falling short and why I'm not doing everything I'm supposed to do. And I can't handle it. It's paralyzing. And I run away. So the best way to develop a certain level of loyalty, of obedience, of commitment, of ability to do that which we have to do is ki imcha haslicha. When we've created a loving environment and a forgiving environment. Very, very critical. If we wish children to toe the line, we have to be there for them to let them know that we're not going to hold their mistakes against them. If they know our warmth, if they know our caring, if they know our forgiveness, then they're ready to begin to think about obedience and see what they could do to be able to improve. One of the things that we find in the message of the Yomim Noroim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's patience. He waits for us to do tshuva. Rabbeinu Yoina, I have the Loshon here, describes V'imhirbu l'fshoa v'limroi. No matter how much we've gone against Hashem and rebelled against Hashem, the doors of tshuva are not closed. He waits and he pays. Shuvu l'asher himiku soro. Shuvu bonim shovovim. Return, return. He begs us and he continues and he tells us, "Kama mekoymis in the tshuva." And no matter how difficult, no matter how much we've erred, no matter how far we've distanced ourselves, he waits and he begs us and he says, "Pischuli Pesach kechudoy shel machat, ani eftachachem Pesach kepischuy shel ulam." Just a little bit. Give me something. Let me see a little something, and I'll help you and I'll take you and I'll carry you the rest of the way. And this patience that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with us is something that we have to reflect in our dealings with our children. Sometimes as parents, it's hard to be patient. Sometimes as children, we love to try our parents' patience. There seems to be a special thrill in the youth of this generation, of last generation, maybe of every generation, to try to test that patience. And we have to stand up to the test and rise to the occasion. Because it's only when we know the patience that they have with us that at some point they will come back. If they think it's Sogar Badom Dalsei Tshuva, the gates of Tshuva, the doors of Tshuva are closed, they'll never come back. And that patience is so important. And as parents, sometimes we run out of patience because it's my child. I can have patience for everyone else. You know, my youngest for years used to tell me, he didn't like the way I was dealing with the situation with him. I didn't seem to have enough patience. So he'd say, "Wait a minute. What if you were lecturing in Milwaukee? You'd know exactly how to tell them about how much patience they should have. And how come for your own kid, you just can't seem to do it right? It's too hard. The love, the caring. The identity. This is, we used to say, my kaddishal. I can't. How tolerant can I be? How patient can I be? Everything's on the line. But everything will be off the line and lost from the line unless we can develop that sense of patience for our children and they see we're there for them. We're waiting for them. I'll never forget the dramatic Sogar Badom Dalsei Tshuva. This was a conversation that took place in the governor's office in New York City. The governor of the state had an office in New York City. And for some reason, there were a lot of people gathered there. I happened to be there. I don't even remember what the occasion was. And they were talking about problems of the kids going off the derech. And this mother gets up and says, "Well, I was advised that on New Year's Eve, when my son leaves the house and refuses to keep the 12 o'clock curfew, that I lock the doors and make sure that he can't get in when he comes at 2, 3, banging on the door to try to get in." And she did say that Rabbi Kuhn advised that I should leave the door wide open. She said, "Anyway, I didn't listen to his advice, and I locked the door, and by 3 in the morning, I had no door left to my house. And the house was left wide open for the whole night until I got someone to fix the door." We have to leave the door open. They have to know they can always come back. They made a mistake. They insulted us. They hurt us. They did something. They embarrassed us. No matter what it may be. The door is wide open and we wait, we wait, we wait for them to come back. Very important lesson that we learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of how he deals with us. It's a very interesting story. I think it may be well known. The story goes that it was Aseres Yimei Teshuva 1959, and the Briskarov, giant of his generation, was very sick and actually passed away that Erev Yom Kippur, right before Kol Nidre, right before nightfall. And Rav Shach came to visit him. And he saw that the Rav was uncharacteristically worried, nervous, fearful. And he asked him, he says, the Rav is such a Baal Bitochen. The Rav has such trust in Hashem. The Rav is so confident. The Rav used to work on his Bitochen as if he was a Baal Musar. He was into that. And what is the Rav so nervous about? Why so fearful? Why so afraid? And the Rav quoted for him the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, where the Rambam discusses why it is that we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So the Rambam says that we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur because they are days of Yirov Ofachad, the days of fear. Hallel is Shira. Hallel is appreciation of our love and our relationship with Hashem. We're singing a song of praise. That's not appropriate in days of fear. Yirov Ofachad, Umivroch, and running away. I'm so awe-stricken by Hashem that I want to run away from Him. Umonus Elov. And I take refuge in His embrace. I want to run away from Him and I take refuge in His arms. I run away from Him out of fear to Him with security. Much as a little child that the parent is ready to hit him or something and has no place to run. He just runs in. Gives his father a hug into that embrace. And the Rav said, I'm working on the fear in order to be able to reach true bitochen. Because if I have fear and I realize that this is a serious time and there's what to be afraid of, then from that I'll catapult myself into a sense of trusting in Hashem. But if I'm not afraid, if there's nothing to worry about, then I'm not trusting Hashem. I don't have that trust. It's not real. I don't need Him. I don't have a problem. So there's nothing to trust. And the Rav gave a very beautiful moshul. He said, a man is walking along the street and everything is fine. He seems to be trusting, bitochen, Hashem, everything. A guy behind him has a gun ready to shoot. So he says like this. If he knows that this guy is there with a gun ready to shoot him, that's a baal bitochen. Menuchas ha-nefesh, peace of mind, not worried about anything. He's going to shoot. Hashem will take care of me. But if he doesn't know that the guy has a gun behind him and that he's ready to shoot, that's not about bitochen. He doesn't have any bitochen. He's not trusting Hashem. He has no problem. I'm not even thinking about anything. You know why I'm happy? Why I'm at peace? Because no problem. So he said he first wanted to recognize the problem in order to achieve the trust. But what I see from here is something else. Here we talk about the Yomim Noiroyim. We talk about this great Briskarov. We talk about a giant of Torah. And here he's preparing himself for Yom Kippur. And how does he prepare himself? The fear is not the preparation. It's the fear that leads to the trust. It's that what he really wants is that trust. If I have that trusting relationship with Hashem, I will make it. I'll manage. I'll succeed in the Yom HaDin. And that really is a posuk that we find in Tilim, in Perek Lamed Gimel, in Ranenu Tzadikim Hashem. It says over there that Hayotzer Yachad Libom Hamevin El Kol Maaseihem. Hashem, that posuk, the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah says Hashem judges the whole world Biskira Achas. In one swift look, He sees the whole world and He judges. Ein Hamelech Melech Shabor B'choyil. Gibelo Yinotzer Rav Koyach. Armies and power not going to help you. There's only two things that can help you. Hinei Ein Hashem El Yireyov. The God-fearing people will be helped. And then the Chofetz Chaim, I believe the Radak learns like that too, puts a comma in there. Lam Yachalim L'chasto. There's another group. They're not necessarily God-fearing. They're not necessarily on that level where they've reached that Yira Shomayim Yirei Hashem. But they're Meyachalim L'chasto. Oy, They're counting on him. They're counting on him. They're waiting. They're counting on him. And once they're counting on him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't refuse them. The Meiri says, "Abiteach b'Hashem ein toicheles sheloi nichsevo." One who trusts in Hashem, that hope that he has will not be disappointed. It cannot be disappointed. Hashem won't let it be disappointed. So that, it seems, is what the Rambam says and the Brisker Rav says. He says, he's waiting. He's working on the fear, not for the fear itself, but because it brings him to this higher level of bitochen. And when we talk about bitochen, I think we have to analyze it on two levels. Our children must be able to trust us. If they can't trust us, they will not count on us, not rely on us, not follow us, not respect us. And really, we limit completely the influence that we can have upon them. We also have to be able to teach them a trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's very critical. If a person goes through life without being able to rely on Hashem, the life is too scary. It's too difficult. It's too overwhelming. The problems are too enormous. The challenges can destroy anyone. But when I have that relationship with Hashem, and it's a trusting relationship, I know I can always rely on Him. That does it for me. And that is a schus in my relation with Hashem that entitles me to be helped. And it is a situation that generates the ultimate peace of mind, the ultimate menuchas hanefesh, because yes, I have problems, but I have solutions. He has all the solutions. And I trust Him, and that gives me that complete tranquility, that complete peace of mind. Our children need that too. Our children have to know that we are there for them. We are their advocates, not their critics. Oy, what parental criticism can do to destroy a child. Yaakov Avinu apologized to Reuven on his deathbed. And he said to Reuven, "I'm sorry I didn't reprimand you earlier on when you made this mistaken judgment, because I was afraid that had I given you this reprimand in my lifetime, before I was on my deathbed," I guess it's easier to handle then, "you would have left me lidobek be'esav ochi, to join forces to go to Esav's yeshiva." Reuven the tzaddik, whose father, the super tzaddik, who could have given him the most gentle reprimand, the most gentle teichocho, he was afraid if he does it, not on his deathbed, when it was, I guess, easier to handle, he might leave him to join forces with his evil, wicked uncle, Esav, of all people. Teichocho can be devastating. Parental reprimand and criticism can be the worst in the world. You know, love of a parent to a child is sometimes taken for granted. It doesn't even make me feel so good because, well, it's genetic, you know, that's their job. My mother's paid, my grandmother's paid for that. That's their job, that's what they do, you know. But criticism? The one who's supposed to love me, the one who's genetically programmed to love me, is so critical of me, it can devastate, it can destroy. We'll get back to that, hopefully, if we'll have a little time, a little bit more later. So, it's extremely important that our children know that they can trust us. Sometimes it plays out in school. You know, there's a problem. There's a discipline problem, there's something else. We have to be their advocates. They have to know, I can always trust my parent to be on my side. Now you might say that's a little bit unfair, and you might say they should learn a lesson, and you might say this, you might say that, and you might be right. But overall, sach hakol, if they know I can trust my parent, they have an anchor in their lives. They have menuchas hanefesh, and they're in such a close connection to their parents that their parents have a unique measure of influence on their lives because of that. I'd like to take the message of Rosh Hashanah a step further. You know, we're concerned about discipline, and rightly so. We're concerned about our children acting properly, and the proper behavior under the different various circumstances. And so it should be. Hashem is concerned about us behaving properly. That's true too. He wants to reward us and to benefit us for that proper behavior, as we do to our children for their proper behavior. So there's a parallel over there. But let's look how Hashem gets that proper behavior from us, and let's parallel that to how we can maybe attempt to get that type of behavior from our children. The Mishnah in Brochus says that the Kriya Shema is made up of two sections. Actually, there's a third section, but we'll talk about the first two. Kabolas Oil Malchus Shomayim and Kabolas Oil Mitzvos. The first paragraph, the Shema, V'ohavto, until Uchsavtem HaMuzuz Beisecho Bishorecho, that's Kabolas Oil Malchus Shomayim. The acceptance of the burden of the kingdom of heaven. Then, V'hoyu Im Shomoya is the Kabolas Oil Mitzvos. Kabbalah so Malchus Shemayim, Rashi says in Shir HaShirim, it's very interesting. Rashi says, you know why Shir HaShirim is considered the holiest of all the Sifrei Kodesh? And do you know why Shir HaShirim, the world Chazal say, was never as kedai as the day that Shir HaShirim was given to Klal Yisrael? Because it's Kula Yira Shemayim v'Kibbalah Malchusay. Shir HaShirim is all about fear of Hashem, and Kabbalah so Malchus Shemayim, accepting the burden of the kingdom of heaven. And anyone who reads, even a superficial reading of Shir HaShirim, doesn't know what this Rashi is talking about. Shir HaShirim is all about love. It's all love, love, love. Our love to him, his love to us. That's all it is. And even in the most estranged situation, we see in the psukim there that the love is still deeply rooted within each and every one of us. So, the Teres is very poshut. Every time we accept the Malchus Shemayim, what do we say before it? Avo Rabo Havtonu. Haboichir Bamo Yisrael B'Avo. Oyhei Bamo Yisrael. Ahav Asoyla Beis Yisrael Amcho Hofto. It's always preceded by a discussion of the loving relationship that Hashem has with us. The Kabbalas Oil Malchus Shemayim is built upon love. This concept that I have to have this loyalty to follow the directives of the Creator is because of the loving relationship that exists between us. And only then, the Ralbag explains that this is what happened when they went into Eretz Yisrael and they built this Mizbeach in the Yarden, and they wrote on it the Psukim of the Torah and the Broches and the Klolos. So the Ralbag explains, he says, then they had to be makabel the mitzvahs in a way that they were aware of the fact that there are consequences. The consequences are, and he says the reason is because before that it didn't work. The Kabbalah of Malchus Shemayim that they had before was faulty. And there were many things that happened in the Midbar which shouldn't have happened to these great tzaddikim. And he says there has to be now a new Kabbalah HaMitzvahs on condition that I'm aware. Not motivated by the fear and the schar, because we're supposed to be shalom and asla kabul pras, but just with the awareness. If we want our children to be aware of consequences in life, the consequences for not following the directives of their parents, the consequences for not following the directives of the Torah, the consequences for not living up to the standards of their yeshiva and of their community environment and so forth, it first has to be based on. It has to start with love. Like the Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shomayim Be'ahavo. Oyhev Amo Yisroel. He loves Amo Yisroel. Boichev Amo Yisroel Be'ahavo. He chose us with love. And then, for Ahavtu Es Hashem Elokecha, that mutual love, that's the basis for one's commitment to Hashem. And that is the basis for one's commitment to following the directives of one's parents. And only on that basis, only with that background, only with that background, can they then begin to say, hey, there are obligations and responsibilities, and I accept all these with full knowledge of the consequences. I'm not doing it for the consequences or because of a fear of the consequences. I'm doing it for the love. But I know there's consequences. But I can't even relate to the concept of acceptance with consequences unless there's first that backdrop of love. So that's, I think, too, you know, sometimes we're too quick with rules and regulations. Sometimes we feel that's my parental responsibility. Others would say it's their parental right. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right and responsibility to expect everything from us. But he does it be'ahava, because he wants us to succeed. And the only way that we will succeed is if these responsibilities are an outgrowth and a product of the love we know that our parents have for us, and in the case of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he has for us. Let's talk for a moment about another message. Very interesting message. We blow the shofar, all of Elul, in fact, every day, and on Rosh Hashanah. And the simple understanding the Rambam brings is that it's to awaken in us a fear. Hayitoka shofar bo'ir v'ho'om lo yecherodu. Will the shofar be blown in a city and people will not tremble? It's a shrill sound that shakes us up a little bit, wakes us up a little bit, and says, hey guys, there's responsibilities. Get your act together, you know. It's time to change. It's time to grow. It's time to improve. But there are other reasons for the shofar that Rabbi Sadia brings, and the Sefer HaChinuch, in the mitzvah, not of Tkiyah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, but in the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar on the Yom Kippur of Yovel, on the Yom Kippur of the 50th year of the Yovel, there's also an inyan of Tkiyah Shofar. And he explains there the reason as contrasted to Rosh Hashanah. And there he explains what the reason for the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is. And he says as follows. He says it's to remember Akedas Yitzchok. Avraham Avinu expressed the ultimate trust and the ultimate commitment to Hashem. Finally, after so many years of not having a child, and Hashem promised him he's going to have Yitzchok, and he has this Yitzchok, and he's told, Ki be Yitzchok ki kori lecho zora. Yitzchok will be your heir. Yitzchok will carry on your message to the world that you have introduced or reintroduced after all of the generations that had forgotten Hashem. And that message will be carried on for posterity through Yitzchok and his descendants. And then he tells him, Haleu lo'ilo, bring him as a sacrifice. Kill him. Avraham Avinu doesn't hesitate. Avraham Avinu does it belev sholem. Avraham Avinu doesn't even meharer, not even to think to himself, and today you say, yesterday you said, Yitzchok is going to be the Yerush, he's going to carry on for me, and today you say, bring him as a sacrifice. Not a thought. With the fullness of heart, without the slightest hesitation, with the ultimate trust, just to do the Rotzon Hashem. So the Chinuch says, very interesting, he says like this. He says, when we listen to the shofar, and we think of Akedas Yitzchok, and we picture ourselves as if we might be doing, or attempting to see ourselves doing an Akedas Yitzchok, that becomes for us a schus, that we can be zeich in the din on Rosh Hashanah. The whole judgment on Rosh Hashanah can be turned in our favor, with that image, with that attempt, with that thought of, let me, instead of Avraham Avinu's picture and Yitzchok, let me place my face in there. And let me place my son's face in there. And let me imagine that I might be able to do such a thing. And that is so powerful that Hashem considers that a schus that could weigh over the whole thing. Take a look in the Sefer HaChinuch. It's there, you'll find it. Now, let's come back to our children for a moment. Sometimes we're too judgmental. Yeah, we love our kids, that's true, but as unfortunately too many a parent has told me over the years, I love my kid, I just don't like him. Yeah, I hope nobody can identify with that, but I hear it relatively often, far too often. And we're very judgmental. It's my kid. It's my image. It's my neighbors. It's the shidduchim of my children. It's my parents' criticism. It's my nachas. It's that's all I have in life. That what's the point of the whole thing? This is it. And sometimes we have to realize that we have to consider what they're going through, and to be machshiv
The thought, the desire to do good, despite the inability to achieve it, as the greatest schus, and consider it as if they had performed an Akedas Yitzchak. And we don't know how difficult it is sometimes for our children. We don't know what they face growing up. We don't know the pressure. We don't know what it is to be a youngster, a young boy or girl, a young teenager boy or girl in this generation of theirs. We don't know, we have no idea. The pressures, the social pressures, the temptations, the access to every decadent thought, picture, opportunity, idea in the world, instantaneously. It's the worst of worst matzovim that they grow up in. I don't care how filtered and protected they are, somebody else next to them is not. And they all catch it eventually. We can shelter them a little bit, but it's not foolproof, it's not fail-safe. And we have to be able to judge them. I'm trying. I haven't succeeded yet. But I try. No, I haven't really tried. I wish I could try. As used to say in the yeshiva world, I want to want. Well, you want to want? What a schus, you want to want. That's mistama what the chinuch means, that I should picture myself that I want to do the akedah. More than that, I can't imagine picturing myself. But I want to want. I wish I could want to really do such a thing. We have to be machshiv that as a schus. If we can take the innocent, the simple, the fleeting even desires of our children to be good and consider that goodness, it's a different world. They have a different schus. We have a different appreciation. We could look at them differently. And then we can better be able to believe in them. And their success is truly dependent upon our ability to believe in them. I'll never forget, many years ago, one of the most difficult young people that we had to deal with. Off the charts. It's like unreal when I think about it. I didn't believe that we went through it. After about 6 months, started to make some small changes, movement in the right direction. Today, Baruch Hashem is a very wonderful person. And I asked him, I said, what happened? Like, why the change all of a sudden? He says to me, you did it. So I said, I did it? I didn't do anything at all for you. You believed in me. The power of belief in me. An important and significant adult, person, other in their lives who believes in them can make all the difference. But we have trouble believing in our kids. We see so much negativity. We see so much bad. We see all the surface and all the schmutz and all the outside and all the temptation, all the chutzpah and all the inappropriate behavior. And it's very hard to say, oh, I believe in this kid. I believe in your success. I believe you're going to be great. I believe. Someone just called me this evening and told me, you get old, you forget. But I think I remember the quote. I forgot who said it. I can't remember. He says, two statements. He says, there are two statements. I believe I can, and I believe I can't. And they're both true. What we believe is what can be. If I believe in myself, I could do anything. And if I believe I can't, I could do nothing. And if my parents believe in me, that empowers me to do everything. And the truth of the matter is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressed this to Klal Yisrael. He chose us. He loved us. He desired us. Elevated us amongst all the languages, all the nations of the world. And then, He took His great and holy name and He called it upon us. This is B'nai Yisrael. This is my people. My name, the Shem Hashem, rides on the Jewish people.
How many times do we feel, Nebuch, that we're embarrassed that our kid carries our name? No. When we show that pride, when we show that belief, when we show I trust you, when we show even though I know full well, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly knew when he was B'chartonu Mikol HaAmim, and when he was V'shimcha HaGadol Aleinu Karos, he knew what was going to happen, he knew what was going to be in the Golos, he knew how we would behave in the future generations, but that name remained with us. He's proud of us. He believes in us. He believes that Ve'achar Yoshuvu, the day will come that we will all return. We will come back. And he stands by the door and he waits for us to return. And that belief is energizing. And that belief in our children could give them that sense of confidence in themselves that can make all the difference in their lives. I want to share with you, we talk about trust. Trusting them is also very important. You know, oftentimes we call our kids on things that, you know, we caught them. Maybe one of the most important parts of parenting is to know what not to see. Do you know how Kodesh Baruch Hu does that? He's malim ayin. Ke'ilu, he looks the other way. Kaviyochol, he sees everything. But he makes it as if he looks the other way. He doesn't pay attention. We have to learn what not to see to. We have to be able to trust that they have greatness. We have to be able to see their goodness. And we have to be able to look the other way when it comes to... I want to share with you a little story. Might be helpful. Might not. But we'll try. Many years ago, I spoke at a dinner, and I referenced the Medrash, I think at the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, where the Medrash compares the Klal Yisrael to an olive. An olive has the most precious oil. Olive oil is the healthiest, it's the most precious, it's the best. But it's the hardest to access. You've got to bang that olive and stomp on it and squeeze it. It's the hardest to... So too Klal Yisrael. There's godliness inside, there's greatness inside. But sometimes it has to go through many different painful procedures to bring it out. A former student of ours, who was some type of an artist, painted a portrait. The portrait at the time was an individual with a talus over his head, eyes covered till here with the talus, the beard and the smile, well, the beard wasn't the same, it was black then, but the smile was the same, squeezing oil out of an olive. And I guess symbolically what it was is that, you know, I'm trying to get the oil, the good stuff, out of these kids. Fine, very nice. I was very happy to hang it. It's like so big, too big actually, I got a smaller version later, hang it up in my office. And shortly after, somebody walked in and said, why is your hair, why are your eyes covered with the talus? I didn't know what the artist had in mind. But I said, you know, maybe the reason is because if you want to conceive that inner beauty, if you want to believe in what's inside, if you want to recognize the greatness that lies inside each and every Jew, you have to close your eyes. Cover it with the talus so you can't peek. Don't look at the outside. Don't hear what's going on. Don't see. And just squeeze. And that greatness will come out. And it's so true. It's so true. We have to learn not to look, not to see, not to be fooled by the external. Just as the Rabbeinu Shalom, he looks straight through. He's He looks into his Beichen Lev and Kloyos. He on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, he sees what's going on inside. And he looks at that inside. And that inside is so much a greater indicator of who the person really is and where his heart lies and what he wants to do and what eventually he will do if we'll believe in him, if we'll accept him, if we'll trust him, if we'll help him, if we'll elevate him. But we have to do it. And we have to take it seriously. like to leave you with one more thought. I think that we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, created us, all of the situations and all of the needs, to be able to be meitiv, to be able to do chesed, to be able to give us good, to be able to, I guess I would say, make us truly happy. The true, the ultimate pleasure in this world. L'hisaneg al Hashem. That's the purpose of creation. We celebrate on Rosh Hashanah. Hayoyim haras olam. This is the anniversary of creation. The purpose of creation is that we should be able to connect and rejoice in that closeness, in that relationship with Hashem, which is the tanug ha'amiti v'idun ha'godol, the greatest pleasure, the greatest thrill of anything that exists in this world. Let's talk for a moment, therefore, about happiness. You know, I often wonder about happiness that doesn't make sense. More money, time, effort is spent on the pursuit of happiness in this society than probably anything else. And if you judge by any of the statistics, by any of the rates, by any of the tragic rates that we see, and I always add, including the rates that mental health professionals charge, what you'll find is that it's not a very happy place. The world doesn't seem to be such a happy place. More pursuit of happiness than anything else. Everyone's looking for it. That's what everybody wants, more than anything else. And they don't seem to find it. And I never understood why, until I came upon an answer. And I think it's very simple. If we don't know what we're looking for, we can't possibly find it. You could trip on it and you won't even realize it. Because I don't know what I'm looking for. I don't know what happiness is. We're very fortunate. We have a true definition of happiness. The world today, Nebuch, equates happiness and pleasure, and they're so confused, they don't know what's going on. They have more pleasure and more pleasure and more pleasure, and then it translates to less happiness and less happiness and less happiness, and they can't figure out what's going on. More money, more time, more taiva, more pleasure, more thrills, more misery, more this, more that. Falling apart, marriages falling apart, families falling apart, lives falling apart. Doesn't make sense. We're very fortunate. We not only have the insights of Chazal, we have our Lashon HaKodesh. And in Lashon HaKodesh, different from every other language in the world, the three-letter root of the word describes the essence of the concept. Probably the highest form of happiness is Osher. David HaMelech said, Achas shoalti beis Hashem oisa avakesh, shivti beis Hashem. He wanted one thing, to sit in the house of Hashem. And about sitting in the house of Hashem, David HaMelech said, Ashrei yoshvei beisecho. The ultimate happiness, Osher, Aleph, Shin, Reish. The sheresh of the word, I believe, comes from the concept of Ishur, validation. Happiness is about feeling good about myself. If we want to be happy, we have to feel good about ourselves. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam gave us the opportunity for the ultimate happiness. Because the ultimate feeling good about myself, maybe more than anything else, has to do with having a life of meaning and purpose. If I have no purpose, every good mental health professional knows, if someone walks into their office and says, I got no point in living, it's time for a suicide watch. Because if there's no purpose in living, what am I here for? Hashem gave us purpose. But He not only gave us purpose, He revealed that purpose Himself. He revealed it in a manual where we know, and in front of millions of eyewitnesses, so we know the true purpose for our existence, and we truly can be happy. Our children also need validation. They need validation on many levels. Love validates. Respect validates. You say, respect? Respect our children? That's what we came here to hear this evening? What do you mean? The children are supposed to respect the parents. So isn't that true? Isn't that what it says? I think. But you know something?
we have to respect them too, because we have to make them feel good about themselves. And parental love, as we mentioned, could be limited because, all right, you're programmed for it. But respect? Respect their time. You must come here this minute! What do you mean? I'm 3 years old and I'm building the Empire State Building. This is the most important building, $14 billion worth. Stupid Lego. To this kid, this is the most important thing in the world. A little respect. Respect my time. Respect my space. Respect my property. Respect my body. Respect my feelings. Respect. That validates. We make our children feel good about themselves. We make them happy. Happy children, the greatest thing to have. Happy children will be receptive to anything. Happy children are not leaving us and going anyplace. And if we make them happy and we make them feel good about themselves, then we become so influential in their lives. Because if you make me feel good about myself, then I need you, I want you, whatever you say. I'm so ready and prone and anxious to do anything, to follow you, to listen to you, to obey you, to hear what you have to say, to make you feel happy. And this is something that, as parents, I think we have to take the lesson. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam went to great, great lengths to make us happy in this world, to give us a sense of purpose. That's why we have it so different from everyone else. And that's why the Jew Nebuch that doesn't have that sense of purpose, that doesn't know about it, but whose neshama stood in Har Sinai, he craves more things, he's more needy than his non-Jewish neighbor, because he's trying to compete and to fill a void that was created by what he subconsciously in his psyche realizes that he's missing. And he's trying to make up for it, but it doesn't work. Hashem was good to us. He revealed to us our true purpose. He validated us. We must validate our children. We must make them happy. We must help them to be happy. We must make them feel, help them to feel good about themselves with the love we show them, with the respect we show them, with the deference we show, with the listening, listening, listening. Oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Shemeya Tefillah. We say on Rosh Hashanah and in the Slicha Shema Koleinu, do we listen? How do we listen? How much do we listen? I hope you don't listen the way I once got caught listening, where one of my kids comes in, they were young at the time, and says, what terrible thing happened to me in school today? I was busy reading this letter or something here, so it says, oh, I'm so glad to hear that. And one of the other kids says, well, you're not paying attention. He said, oh, okay, fine, I apologize. A few minutes later, the other one says, a wonderful thing happened to me in school today. So I'm not going to make the same mistake twice. So I say, well, I feel so bad for you. Listen, listen, listen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to us. He listens to our tefillahs. He listens to our krechtzing. He listens to our heart. He listens to what's going on inside. We have to listen to our children as well. Listening is so powerful. You know, but listening is this different types of listening. I'm not talking about this type of listening when you're not paying attention. But even in the world of listening, and the key listening, the best listening, the real listening, and maybe with this we'll close. There's a famous, it's well known in Yerushalayim, that many years ago, 100 years ago, 80 years ago, there was a Professor Halperin. Professor Halperin was the psychiatrist, neurologist, like the professor of mental health. He was the number one man. Anytime there was a very difficult problem, they went to Professor Halperin. And they once interviewed Professor Halperin and asked him, what do you do when you can't handle the problem? So he says, I send him to Rav Aryeh Levine. Rav Aryeh Levine was a famous tzaddik in Yerushalayim, a tremendous Baal Chesed, and he had a big pikeach. So they asked Rav Aryeh, what do you do with the patients that Professor Halperin can't help and they send to you? And he says, I don't do anything. All I do is listen with a little bit mitgefil, with empathy. Empathetic listening does wonders. It's therapeutic. And our children crave it. Not sympathetic listening. Sympathetic listening doesn't validate. Sympathetic listening makes me feel bad about myself. Oi, Nebuch, Nebuch, I feel so sorry for you. Oi, I'm a Nebuch. Nobody wants to be a Nebuch.
empathetic listener says, I validate your feelings. I understand, I feel what you feel. Your feelings are justified, they're real. That attention can be clean in the foreshoes. That attention can elevate their self-esteem, can elevate their validation, can enhance our relationship, can turn their world around and create a world of valid and happy children. And if we can succeed in nurturing happy children, then everything else will fall into place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help. This Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we should be successful in our relationship with Him. We should develop that true sense of trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Forgive me. I lied. Just one more thing. One more thought. I just want to share with you one little thought. Because it has to do with trust. Even a minutia of trust can make a difference in our whole lives. We lived for 10 years in San Fernando Valley. We established the yeshiva there. And it was a very, very difficult 10 years. Financially, it was dismal. It wasn't a wealthy community. And once they found out what we really wanted to do there, a lot of people were up in arms because they thought, oh, we'll make a little Jewish high school, you know, a little bit Judaism, a little bit, they'll learn a little Hebrew, you know. They had no idea what a yeshiva was. And it was rough years. And the last year that we were there, remember that summer I went to the Stipler in the middle of the night there, asked for a brocha, and it was like, it was really rough. Rosh Hashanah night comes, and come home from shul, from yeshiva, and there was a big wine decanter on the table. I believe I remember it from my grandmother's house yet, and a long neck. Poured the wine to make kiddush, and then took the glass or whatever it was, crystal, I don't know what it was, and cap, and wanted to put it back on top, and I don't know how to this day, I touched the neck and the neck slit. I don't believe the story, but my family was witness, it happened. So, and immediately my wife calls out, Hapach nishbar, v'anachnu nimlatnu. The trap is broken, and we will escape, and we escaped. Well, we started to learn that night the inyan of Simone Milsa. Simone Milsa means, you know, we take the apple and dip it in the honey. We say, Yerosh Habish, Teshetachadish Oleinu, a sweet year. And the head of the fish, Abila Rosh, Lazonov, and the carrots, and the Xerus Tevis, and all these things, you know, whatever, even if it's in Yiddish, whatever it is, they're all Simone Milsa, Simone Milsa. So we started to learn the inyan, and we realized that what Simone Milsa is it's some slight additional inspiration to having bitochen that Hashem is going to help us this year. Because not only do I say, please give me a sweet year, but I taste the sweetness. I take the apple and the honey and I taste the sweetness and I feel sweet, sweet. I can relate a little bit more to the concept that I'm hoping will happen, and it enhances. How much does it enhance? How much? Ever so slightly. But ever so slight a growth in bitochen can make all the difference in the world. Anyway, that year, just to share with you this footnote, I was offered a position in New York. That's the year. Next year I moved to New York. I was offered a salary like I never knew existed. I was given a signing bonus. It wasn't for the Yankees or something, but I was given a signing bonus, which I gave to the yeshiva, but that's besides the point. Yeah, and since then, things got rough again, but that's besides the point. But Simone, so even if we can only muster ever so slight a difference in our bitochen, it can make a difference in everything that happens that year. And even if we can find some little area to show a greater trust in our children, it could make a critical difference in their entire lives. Let's hope the Rebbeinu Shlom should help us, both in our relationship with our Kodesh Baruch Hu, we should find this trust. In our relationship with our children, we should show this trust. And we should be zeiche this year to a year of health and happiness and parnosa toivo, brocha, refuah, yeshua, nachas from our children. And the goyel tzedek should come, bimheiro b'yomeinu, and relieve us from all of our challenges and difficulties. Amen.